previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, it's the mountain lion from Milwaukee.
My buddies Mufasa, Samson, and Bob. We came in from Detroit, and they ditched me, man. Have you had a Butterburger, man?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
You gotta get a Butterburger. They're like the best. Somebody told me there's a ferry you can take across the Michigan Lake.
Hey, oh, so you want to get to the UP? You want to get to like Upper Michigan?
No, I want to get home.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Good morning, 510, 720 WGN. Happy Monday to you. This muggy morning in Chicago. No mountain lion sightings this weekend.
Well, actually, they did see him a couple times this weekend in Milwaukee.
No. I mean this mountain lion.
Well, I think it's the same one.
The one
it's
who
the
called
one in
it.
It's the one in Milwaukee.
You know, something tells me it's not.
Really?
I don't know. I think he might be an impersonator.
That he was in Chicago for the Dead concert?
That he talks, that he was in town for the Dead concert.
Nothing unusual about that on this show.
Not at all. Busy weekend for everybody, I'm sure. We have Paul Conrad coming up today. We have a lot going on in the program, as always. Cannon Lambert after 7 o'clock as well. First of all, we want to check in with ABC's Jim Ryan. We learned some new developments over the weekend. This is regarding the Lafayette, Louisiana theater shooting. More we're learning about the suspect. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Andrea. And some of it is coming from the writings of John Hauser himself, the suspect in this case, a guy known to his friends and family as Rusty, the 59-year-old we now know who walked into that theater on Thursday evening, sat through about 20 minutes worth of the movie Trainwreck, and then stood up and opened fire, killing two people, injuring nine, and then shooting and killing himself. He did step outside, apparently saw a police cruiser pulling up, went back into the theater, fired several more shots, and that's when he shot and killed himself. But yeah, the investigators are learning more now, Andrea, much of it from the journal that was left in the motel room. It seemed to point to a methodical and well-planned attack on a movie theater there in Lafayette.
And to his family, over the weekend, too, we learned that he had obvious, as we said last week, too, there were some mental issues going on there as well. But his family had been concerned for a long time about his mental state and his well-being.
Sure, yes. And they had taken weapons out of the home. His now ex-wife had was very concerned about his erratic behavior. I think that's part of the reason for the breakup between the two of them. But, yeah, it goes back some time, at least 6 or 7 years, that John Hauser was having some mental issues, and it really manifested itself again just in the few days before the shootings in Lafayette. He lived in Alabama, but made his way, sort of drifted over into Louisiana. That's where this all happened on Thursday night.
Jim, do we know why yet? And I know the investigation, this is going to take some time, but do we know why Lafayette, why this particular movie theater? Was there any sort of tie from his past to this particular town or this movie theater?
Not at all. Not to the town, at least. Now, at least looking into the journal and the entries that he made in there, he wrote down 7:15 p.m., wrote down train wreck, wrote down that specific that movie theater. Apparently, he picked it out, had scoped out some other theaters, but because they had security on site, police officers and off-duty security teams there, they did not have one at the Grand 16 Theater. And that may be the reason he went to that place, knowing that there weren't off-duty police officers patrolling the place.
Two women killed and nine others wounded. Do we know the conditions of the rest of the people who are in the hospital, Jim?
No, they're all expected to recover. Okay. In fact, it may be that at least a couple of them were released over the weekend and probably more of them today. Injuries, certainly serious injuries. Some of those folks were shot. Of the 20-round clip that he fired off, 11 people were struck. Some of them were struck several times, including one who was hit four times. So you can see the sort of wide range of injuries and seriousness of injuries.
Let's talk about the gun, too, real quick, Jim. He got this gun from a pawn shop, and apparently, you know, the owners of the pawn shop were saying over the weekend, you know, we did the background check. We did what was necessary to make sure that this was obtained in the right way. But here we go again.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was a High Point 40 caliber semi-automatic pistol that was bought legally last year from that pawn shop in Phoenix City, Alabama. He was cleared to buy that gun because John Hauser didn't have any serious criminal convictions on his record, and so therefore was able to fill out paperwork and pass through the waiting periods and eventually take possession of that weapon.
Yeah, and then, of course, we go back to the whole, stricter gun laws, and if someone has a mental illness or a record of a mental illness, you know, it should be harder to obtain a gun. But again, I think everybody immediately wants to blame the pawn shop, and perhaps that could be the case, but they seem to have done everything legally and gone about it the right way in giving him this gun.
Right. I mean, they followed the letter of the laws as best they could, and still something like this happened. Governor Bobby Jindal is saying that tougher gun laws are not necessarily needed, but the tougher restrictions on people who have mental illness certainly should be.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you as always.
Thank you.
All right. That's ABC's Jim Ryan live in Texas this morning with all of the latest developments on the Lafayette theater shooting. Again, that investigation is going to go on and take some time. All right. Some sad news over the weekend, as well as Whitney Houston's daughter passes away. We'll have a little bit more on that coming up for you after traffic. And such a beautiful song. I always really love this song. 5:20 in the morning. Thanks for being with us. Some sad news over the weekend. Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's daughter passes away 6 months almost to the day after being found face down and unresponsive in a bathtub. Bobby Christina was just 22 years old. She died in a hospice in Duluth, Georgia. She was surrounded by her family. Bobby Christina was just 18 years old, remember, when Whitney Houston was found face down in a bathtub at the Beverly Hilton in California in 2012, just before the Grammy Awards. So our thoughts go out really to Whitney Houston's family, and just very, very, very sad story. There's no other way. Very troubled childhood, troubled life that Bobby Christina lived, and having Whitney Houston pass away so young, you lose your mother. It's a very, very sad story. Also, other sad story locally, 7 people killed over the weekend in Chicago, 28 others injured in shootings all across Chicago. So it was a busy weekend for Chicago police and fire as well. And Dave, there was some sad news at Wrigley Field. Actually, some happy news at Wrigley Field, but not so happy for the Cubs. And
it was very happy for the Philadelphia Phillies.
They get the sweep, and then Saturday they get the no-hitter.
Cole Hamels' no-hitter on Saturday, and everybody saw the Phillies on the schedule. Most teams see the Phillies on the schedule, and they think, okay, this is going to be a good weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They're the worst team in baseball. And since the All-Star break, though, they've only lost one game, and they came into Wrigley and swept the Cubs. And the Cubs now have gone from holding that second wild card spot and putting some pressure on Pittsburgh for the first wild card to being 2.5 games out of the second wild card spot. So they need to get it going. They have Colorado, another bad team, coming in for 3 games starting tonight.
You know, it's funny. When I walked in this morning, the first thing I said to Dave was, aren't we supposed to get the guy before he no-hits us?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. The Cole Hamels trade talks continue. And obviously his price probably doesn't affect his price tag all that much. But you would think you want to buy when the price is right.
But I mean, when it's hot.
It's all over the internet. It's all over the news. Yeah. The Cubs are interested in Cole Hamels, blah, blah, blah. He no-hits the Cubs.
Right.
Like, on Saturday.
You know what, though? Maybe he'll have another no-hitter at Wrigley Field as a Cub.
Well, there's a possibility.
His next no-hitter will be at Wrigley.
Did I hear right? Was it the last time the Cubs got no-hit was Koufax?
It was on Koufax,
the year I was born. Year I was born.
In fact, the Cubs were all... That's also the last time... They were no-hit in Los Angeles by Koufax that summer. They were also no-hit at Wrigley Field that summer. So that was
twice
the last
by
time.
Koufax.
No.
Koufax, Cubs. Look at this. This is a premonition.
I see it.
His next no-hitter is going to be.
You've been watching too much True Detective. All right. Go ahead, sing. We got a weird studio this morning. Half the windows are fogged up. What's that about?
Anybody know?
It was steamy in here. Just
I've never seen these windows like that.
I don't know what's going on.
Have you ever seen these windows fog up like that?
Yeah, once.
What happened? Was it a poltergeist?
I don't know. And oddly, just like this setup this morning, it's just these two windows and not the one facing Michigan Avenue.
Yeah. What's Manfredini doing? Is he awake?
We should call him.
We should call Lou and go, why are our windows foggy? So if you're downtown and you want to see what goes on here in the morning or any time during the day at WGN, well, you're screwed. You can't see.
Now, is this fogginess and condensation, is that on the inside?
Believe
of the
it is.
Window?
Believe it is, yeah.
It is. Somebody's breathing too heavily.
Yeah, but it's not on our window. It goes glass.
It's on
that
middle. Second pane of glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only one way. They can see in. We just can't see out.
Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a poltergeist.
Can't wait for the remake of that, huh?
I think this is it.
Yeah.
They're shooting it in the window. Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right.
Did you see movies this weekend?
I did.
What'd you see?
I did, unfortunately.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What'd you see?
I saw Pixels.
Pixels would be the Adam Sandler movie?
The Adam Sandler bomb.
Make any money?
It made $24 million, roughly about $35 million less than they expected.
Well, that's a problem.
Ant-Man, in its second week, beat it.
Did you see Ant-Man?
It did.
And?
I liked it very much.
Is it funny?
Yes, very funny, very entertaining. You can see, by the way, you can see in the movie, there were a lot of rewrites, and the script went through many drafts. And the final draft has four screenwriters, including Edgar Wright, who directed and co-wrote Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End.
All good? Well, World's End, not so much. The first two.
Oh, I love World's End.
I wasn't crazy about
it. Love all three of them. And then Adam McKay.
Oh, really? How's his health?
I don't
MS.
Know.
He has MS.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he posts a lot on Facebook
good.
And stuff.
Yeah,
so, and he talked about, like, you know, like the script and stuff. Like, he was very excited to have written a superhero movie. And as I watched Ant-Man, there were moments in my head, not out loud, but in my head, I'm like, McKay wrote that.
Oh, yeah.
McKay wrote that. There's this.
Were you waiting for Will Ferrell to pop out at some point?
There's this great sequence. Now, are you familiar with Drunk History? And I'm not talking about me.
Well, I mean, there's so many ways to go with that question. I mean, my own family.
The show. The television show on Comedy Central that started on,
yeah.
What's the Laugh or Get Killed? What's the name of that?
Funny or Die.
Okay, Funny or
Die. Funny or Die. It's close. Laugh or Get Killed, Funny or Die.
So Funny or Die. All right, yeah. It started on Funny or Die, and then it became this show.
Right.
And have you seen it?
Yeah, Drunks in History, yeah. It's recreations of historical moments, yeah, as done by drunks.
As comedians tell the stories,
right.
You know, like, oh, we're going to talk about the Declaration of Independence, with whoever this is, whatever comedian, and they get loaded as they're telling the story. So they get drunker and drunker as they tell the story. But what's funny is when they go and do the reenactments, like with major actors, it's the voice of the drunk comedian providing all of the dialogue.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I have no idea how they conceptualized it and sold it.
I know, but McKay is one of the guys, one of the founding guys behind it.
Yeah.
There are two sequences in Ant-Man where Michael Peña, who plays one of the cohorts that works with Paul Rudd, tells these stories, the story about these, where it goes into flashback, where he tells the story about how he found out about this heist and how this story went to this story. And it's all told from his point of view, and they do the same exact thing that they do on Drunk History.
So it's a creative lift by a guy who's lifting it from himself.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, geez, I wonder if McKay wrote
good.
This. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So Ant-Man good, Pixels horrible, bad.
Horrible.
What else did you say?
Southpaw, not good.
Yeah, you know, the reviews are really mixed. I heard people that were just swooning over it.
No.
And then I heard people going, no, don't go.
It's
you've seen it before.
Yeah, many times. It's so incredibly overwrought. Like, it's like, okay, I understand. You know, I've seen these kind of movies before. This guy's got to hit rock bottom. He's got to dig himself out of a hole and redeem himself with the championship.
Right, and you're not going to do it without Burgess Meredith, and Burgess Meredith is dead.
For the first hour of this movie, they pile so much stuff on top of this guy. I'm like, all right, enough. I realize this guy's having some difficulties.
Parking tickets.
But enough already.
Right. Doesn't work.
No, not at all. In fact, I was very disappointed. Well,
should women go to see, what's his name, shirtless? Gyllenhaal.
Well, he looks good.
Yeah.
He looks good. Yeah. I mean,
he never did it for me.
He put on.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
Not a Jake.
Well, for most of the, I mean, his body looks great. But for most of the movie, his face is all banged up. Yeah. Like his eyes are all swollen shut. There's blood shooting out of his face.
You don't need the right woman could fix that. It's 5:47. Don't go away. More with Nick in a second. Lori is in Sterling. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing fine. You in your car, it sounds like, huh?
Yes, I am.
Where are you going?
I'm headed to work.
And where do you work?
I work in Dixon, Illinois. I am a private care nurse with a little 6-year-old girl.
Oh, well, that's touching and great. I'm glad you do that work.
Yeah, she's a pretty sweet little gal.
Listen, for you, I've got a whole bunch of stuff here. Let's see. You're in Dixon. I'm trying to make this easy for you. How about the Chicago Blackhawks 2015 Stanley Cup Champions official licensed Blu-ray disc? Do I give her a Blu-ray player, too?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
It's the highlights disc for the Blackhawks this season, the entire season.
Awesome.
Also, you remember Hall & Oates?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming to River's Edge in Aurora. You might have to drive a little bit to get there.
Willing to do that.
All right, so you got Hall & Oates tickets as well.
Hey, Steve, it's my birthday on Wednesday, and I'm hoping to get a MyPillow out of you.
MyPillow. You won a MyPillow. Congratulations on a MyPillow. And I appreciate you being open to that.
Planning on sleeping on your birthday? Is that
eventually.
You know, as I was tossing and turning at 2:30 this morning, knowing the alarm would ring at 5, I was thinking, I have got to get a hold of Steve today and get on my pillow.
See, in that situation, you got to turn on the radio and listen to me.
That's a good point. 2:15, you were on.
I'll put you right to sleep.
2:15, you were on, buddy. Oh, and Lou Malnati's Pizza. We'll send you some Lou Malnati's as well.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so don't eat that while you're on your MyPillow. Hold on, Lori. Have a great day at work, and give that little girl a hug from us.
You know, it's funny. The reason I laughed when you mentioned Hall & Oates was because the only one time that I chuckled during the abomination known as Pixels involved Hall & Oates.
You're kidding me?
Yeah. It was the only time I laughed the entire
time. So there's Hall & Oates joke in the movie?
Well, there are tons of 80s jokes in the film, and none of them funny.
Right.
So basically what happens is...
You remember the 80s?
Oh, I love the 80s. Ugh.
Not after you see this.
Good time. Maybe I won't see it so I can keep my fond memories of it.
Well, it's a horrendous movie. It's absolutely horrible. The Adam Sandler, you know, the aliens think that it's a declaration of war when they see the video footage of the 80s video games, classic video games. So they send down giant
Dave,
versions.
Dave, you spent the whole weekend playing Galactica or something.
No, Galaga.
Galaga.
Come on, man. Galaga.
Galaga, which was the...
Were you at Nick's house or was Nick at your house? And what did your mom say?
She brought us milk and cookies.
Fritos.
It was a bro date.
Fritos, there you go.
Galaga was the...
Sequel.
Follow-up to Galaxian.
Galaxian, yeah.
Which was...
Not as good a game.
By the way, have you seen the commercial for Galaxia? Disclaimers take forever. Could cause indigestion, could cause headaches, could kill you.
But so
try Galaxia.
What they did in the movie was they had the aliens communicate with Earth via video of 80s icons. So they had, like, Reagan come on and say, we are planet blah, 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 and we are coming down. And this footage, you know... Where they just move the lips around to make it look like it. And so they did like Madonna. Madonna said, hey, you passed Centipede, but you will not pass Pac-Man.
Oh, and eventually it gets to Hall & Oates.
And then they would Hall & Oates. And so they've got Hall & Oates from mid 80s on the set of MTV.
Yeah.
Daryl Hall's got the hair. Oates has the fantastic mustache.
Right.
And they've synced it up so that they say, you cheated and you are now going to feel our wrath. We're going to destroy the planet. So they're in the war room. And idiot Adam Sandler and idiot Josh Gad are there. And for some reason, Brian Cox is in the movie. I'm assuming he lost a bet. So Brian Cox plays like the admiral who's in charge.
Right.
And so
when does President Kevin James come in?
He's in the whole... You can't even... I'm serious, man. You can't...
Are they writing fat jokes about Kevin James?
Oh, yeah. Here's the one thing that's amazing, though. We talked about this earlier when we reviewed it, when Colin and Eric and I reviewed it.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage is in this movie. It's an Adam Sandler movie, and there's not one dwarf joke.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. I thought it would be wall to wall.
So that's the one area he won't go to?
Well, I think it's Dinklage, because Dinklage probably said, you're not, no.
I'll do the movie, but you can't do short jokes.
Yeah. So anyway, the Hall & Oates video plays. It's like, now you're going to die.
Yeah.
And so the war room goes nuts, and Brian Cox, in his admiral uniform, starts screaming at Sandler, like, and Josh Gad, saying, it's your problem, you cheated, now the world is going to blow up, it's all your fault. And Adam Sandler says, no, we didn't cheat. He's like, well, hey, you heard Hall & Oates. Only time I laughed the entire
time
was when Brian Cox said, you heard Hall & Oates. That's
I wonder
the only
if he knew who they were.
I don't know. I don't think he knew where he was. Like, I think he did. I don't even think he read the script.
He's when like, you were watching it, did you feel like it had been an eternity in the city?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What line is that from? She's gone.
She's gone.
An eternity in the city, yeah.
But yeah, so that and Pixels and Southpaw, both not good. But I did see a terrific movie that you can see on video on demand, or you can go to the music.
VOD, as we call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
It's called Unexpected. And co-written and directed by Chris Swanberg, Chicagoan. And it stars Kobe Smulders and a young girl. What happened? The movie is shot here in Chicago, local movie. And it's about a woman who has an unplanned pregnancy.
Okay.
Ends up getting married because of the pregnancy, decides to keep the kid, but she works for the CPS. It's shot here. She works for the CPS, and the school that she's working for is closing down. And they actually focus on that. They actually show strikes and all kinds of
That's
stuff.
That's a rip from the headlines.
Yeah, yeah. So she has no idea what she's going to do. Her baby is due in August. So she and her husband reluctantly decide that she's going to take like a year off. Meanwhile, a girl in her class, 17 years old, also gets pregnant. So it's about the relationship between these two people. The teacher who gets pregnant, who has no idea what she's going to do with her life and her career, and the 17-year-old kid who was planning on going to college. And it's about this relationship. And it's a relationship that I don't know if I've ever seen on screen before.
So it was unexpected that you didn't expect it to be that good.
No, I didn't. I mean, I expected it to be pretty good because I had heard good things about it. But I didn't. It's this relationship between this 17-year-old inner city girl who's pregnant and this girl in her 30s who has this unexpected pregnancy. And it's screwing up her career plans and everything. And, and it's a really... I thought it was really
good. And they both
really
grow
good.
From it if the movie works.
Well, yeah. And okay. I really, that without question,
but you got to work to see this. Oh, you said video on demand.
Video on demand is how I saw it. And you can also go to the music box if you want to see it on the big screen. Either way, Unexpected, without question, the best movie of the week.
Ross is in for Kevin today. He's not feeling well. Kevin is going to live, right? Kevin's just not feeling well?
Yes, he's definitely going to live.
He got the cold from you. So we'll call you the carrier.
Yeah, why not? That's why I'm in here.
Yeah, the movie Nick just mentioned, is it on the Hulu?
It is on the Hulu.
Okay, it's on the Hulu.
Unexpected
as well.
Is on Hulu.
Yes. The Hulu.
I would encourage people to check it out on the Hulu.
Okay. What are you doing tonight?
What are we doing? I just cut a
promo. You're on it too.
I just cut a promo. Oh, Mr. Holmes, the movie with Ian McKellen is the older version of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
We have a Sherlock Holmes expert coming on.
Okay.
To talk about that. On some of the other Sherlock Holmes stories and movies and things like that.
How's that Sherlock Holmes TV show doing? Anybody watch it?
I don't watch it.
Which one, Elementary or Sherlock?
Oh, because I forgot about Sherlock.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch, man. You can't forget about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. No, the new one, the newer one.
That's not Sherlock.
Not the Benedict Cumberbatch one.
Oh, no, that's Elementary.
Yeah.
No, Elementary is with...
Not good?
That's with Lucy Liu and Johnny...
Depp.
Shoes. whatever.
No, is it any good?
Elementary?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Okay.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville, I think, plays him.
Which one is the one that features the video game Galactica?
Galaga.
Oh, it's Galaga.
Yeah.
Don't stop. The audience is enjoying it.
All right. Second verse.
Pretty good. It's Paul Conrad back from vacation. Where'd you go?
I was on the father-daughter camping getaway.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Where'd you go?
I'm not sure where I was, but there was there was not anything going on around
me. Hold on a second. You mean they put like tape over your eyes, tied you up three in a trunk?
Yeah, I know where I was, but I was out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, okay. Which state?
You know, I was spent the great majority of the time in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, Michigan, okay.
UP. And then it was a little bit of time in Canada. Got lost, you know.
Were you picking up a shipment or something?
No, you're just trying to camp. You know, do you camp?
No.
Are you a camper? Me either.
Not unless I have to.
Yeah, never. You know, it's not in my history or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, hey, I got a daughter. Someone's got to teach her how to camp. No one taught me, so I'm going to show her.
And
it didn't work out. So it was fine. It was perfect.
Is this like a Girl Scout thing?
No. Well, she and I had a little separate camp that we kind of did on our own. And then we went to a father-daughter camp up in just north of Newberry.
But who are the father-daughters?
It was me. And I was the father. And then I have a daughter named Liliana.
No, I'm familiar with that. But was there an organization?
Yeah. So Willow Creek Church runs
Camp
Paradise.
So then you had lots of dads and lots of daughters.
Yeah, like 50 or 60 dads and 60 daughters. And it was fun.
Well, it's good. Nice bonding time for you and your girl.
Oh, my gosh. It was
special. Now, she's your favorite, right, of all four of your children?
She is very easily, by far. And when it comes time to split the inheritance up, she's getting the great majority of it, unless the other three turn it up a lot. And
all right.
I hope they're listening, because you guys better get on it. Otherwise, you're not going to get jack squat.
All right. Now, the ranking right now is Liliana's one.
Right.
Klaus, I'm thinking, is two.
Yeah. Klaus is probably number two. And then Vaughn's coming in at three, and Elsa... She's coming in at about sixth right now.
What did Elsa do?
She's just a four-year-old hater is what she is.
Oh, she's upset about everything.
She's angry.
She's got the teenage drama at four.
Oh, my Lord. She's nice. You know, she looks cute, but don't...
It's nothing but trouble there.
Yeah. Wouldn't eat her hot dog last night.
Oh, come on. Why not?
I don't know. Like, it was a beautiful hot dog. I made a delicious hot dog.
You might need to make one, you know, you get the late night TV thing. You can make those funny shapes of the hot dogs where you can turn the hot dog into a face and stuff.
I got to get in and send me the information on that, because whatever I did last night, it did not work.
Let me write that down. Send Paul funny hot dog face information.
Yes. Thank
you. All right. I'm going to get on that right after the show.
That because we're having leftovers tonight, and so I got to find a way to make it more interesting.
How long do you have before you have to be on TV?
I don't know, a couple minutes, maybe 1-2 minutes. Hey, how was your weekend? Forgive me for not asking.
It was fine. I had another golf tournament, and also played poorly, just like I did last weekend.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Nothing better than having a bad round of golf.
It really is good. But I felt like I got some good, solid cursing in.
Good. You got to get that out of your soul, you know, because if you leave that dark stuff in there.
Now you can't go camping.
You'll never be able to go camping. Did I mention no running water, no electricity, outhouses?
Did you find out if a bear does do that in the woods?
I didn't see any bears. But I tell you what, there's something about after you use an outhouse that you feel like, I better go wash my hands as fast as possible.
Right, you couldn't.
But you can't. So you use this little Purell, and in your back of your mind, you're going, well,
that's a terrible race. You go back 100 years, how fast would we have died?
I would have been like 3 days. 3 days, or I would have thrown myself off a cliff. So I'm like, good Lord.
Those are real hardworking. Those are actual men.
They were men. I admit it. There's not a manly bone in my body. At one point, I'm thinking, I could swim across the river and get back to my car and just sit in there for the air conditioning and some music.
Just the kick from the musket would have killed us both.
You guys are such wimps. It's unbelievable.
I'm embarrassed about who I am, Orion. I've got so much shame. And then my daughter's outdoing me, right?
Yeah.
She's 10.
Yeah. Sure.
She's not complaining about the outhouse.
No.
She's enjoying it. I'm sitting there going, this is the dumbest thing I could have thought.
Let's find a Four Seasons as fast as possible.
Oh, good Lordy.
All right, go do TV.
All right, I love you, and I'll see you when I get home, sweetheart.
All right, bye-bye there,
Snookums. Bye-bye now. Be careful.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. That's Paul Conrad live from Channel 9. Something very, very wrong.
I was
going to
say, is he okay? And I don't mean
I'm not kidding, though. When I brought that up, I'm not kidding. If you go back, you know, because we complain about stuff now, because, you know, this is the life we're living now. And it's all relative. You complain about things in your time.
Right. First world problems, we call them.
But 150 years ago, what were they complaining about 150? What were kids whining about 150 years ago?
Oh, 100. Dave?
Okay, that's so. Big O, help me out, will you?
Yeah, well, really, wimps. That's all I'm hearing this morning, because I grew up with an outhouse, three rooms and a bath.
Yeah, but, you know, here's a point, or you can get plumbing now. You just refuse to do it.
I know it. Well, you get used to one thing. Why change?
He's got that half moon cutout that he has. It's 6:19. Back with more tomorrow at 7:20 WGN. This is the unedited version. Should we see how long we can go before we get a fine?
No.
Oh, okay. You know, it's getting hot in here.
Okay.
We still have a fogged up window situation here in our center pane of glass. Could this be from the old days when we had the brick through the window and maybe there wasn't a tight seal on it?
I was actually thinking that.
It's got to be, right?
Maybe they didn't seal it. I'm sure they. It's been a while, though.
Or is it a poltergeist?
I don't think it's a poltergeist.
Okay.
Or did someone just come by and soap up the windows on the outside?
They did clean the windows on Friday.
Oh, that may be it, too, then.
That could be it.
But residue?
It also is very, very, very cold in here. It's frigid in here all the time, and it's very hot outside.
Anybody traveling soon?
I am.
Yes. Yeah.
I am, too. I got to go to a wedding in New York. I'm going to do another wedding.
Another wedding? How many weddings have you been to?
Well, this will be the second one of the summer, but, I mean, I'm going to actually officiate the wedding.
Oh,
I'm
you're going to?
Yeah, this will be number 6, I think. So it's my niece.
Okay, so of the 5 that you've already done, are
4 and 1.
Oh, that's a good record.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Meaning 4 are still together.
4 are still together. Okay. 1's a divorce.
Okay, got
it. Yeah, but the one that's divorced, it's the third time.
Oh, yeah.
I was the best man for the second wedding. And for the third wedding, the groom wanted me to be the best man, but the bride said, wasn't he the best man for your last wife?
That's smart.
So I said no, and then asked me to be the person that did the wedding. So I went and got ordained.
Mm-hmm.
And then did the wedding. That was my first one. That one's a failure. But,
after that,
dude's been married 3 times.
Yeah, that's not you.
Come on.
No, that's him.
But the others are all locked. Oh, and then we had the vow renewals. So those should count too, I guess, right?
Those definitely count.
Then.
How many did you do that day?
6. I did 2 or 3 that day, I guess.
Okay, so you did 3, so you've done
So I've done
8.
Like 48 weddings.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So I've got another one coming up. So in flying, I don't know if you think about this, but I feel like we don't give the flight attendants enough credit. They work very hard.
I think they do work very hard.
And we need to get this person on. Heather Poole, she's worked for a major carrier for over 15 years. She's written a book called Cruising Attitude, Tales of Crash Pads, Crew Drama, and Crazy Passengers at 35,000 Feet. Here's a few excerpts from the book. If the plane door is open, the flight attendants aren't getting paid. They get paid for flight hours only. The next time you see the flight attendants go, please have a seat, please have a seat, please have a seat, it's because they're not on the clock until the doors are closed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
Huh.
When Delta announced 1,000 openings in 2010, it got 100,000 applications. That is a higher application to hire rate than people trying to get into Harvard.
Wow.
A little competition.
Yeah.
The restrictions on whether or not you can fly are still in place. Weight restrictions, most of those disappeared in the 90s, but there is a too tall or too short range. Today, that typically means you have to be taller than 5'3", but shorter than 6'1", depending on the aircraft.
Okay.
Now, I'm 6 feet tall. There's some of these puddle jumper planes you get on, you feel like you have to duck to walk in.
Right.
So if you get somebody come in, you know, and they're tall, that's I don't know that I've ever seen a tall flight attendant. Like
really tall where they have to duck, yeah.
Yeah, tall enough to be noticed, though, where you go, wow, that person's tall.
Seen tall pilots, though.
I don't know. I haven't.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane.
Oh, that's right. That's a very good point.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point. You can be fired for bizarre reasons, a flight attendant continues. I know one hire who lost her job for wearing a uniform sweater tied around her waist. Another newbie got canned for pretending to be a full-fledged flight attendant so she could fly home for free. Travel benefits don't kick in until after 6 months probation.
Oh.
But the most surprising violation, flying while ill. If we call in sick, we aren't allowed to fly, even as a passenger on another airline. If you fly while you're sick under your benefits package and they find out you're sick, you'll be immediately fired.
What if you don't know you were sick and you get sick in flight or... On your way to the airport.
Probably some sort of appeal process,
maybe.
You
would think, wouldn't you?
Seems like that'd be fair.
Yeah.
But if you have 99,000 other candidates in line for the job, maybe they don't appeal. What's the worst drink to serve if you're a flight attendant? A Diet Coke.
Why?
Because the fizz in a Diet Coke takes forever to settle at 35,000 feet, which slows down the pour process.
POUR, which slows down the ability to get drinks out quickly.
Oh. Which is why they always ask if you'd like the whole can.
You want the can?
You know, some...
That's what I do, because I'm a Diet Coke guy.
Yeah.
They go, you want the can, Mr. Screw-Up My Day?
But some airlines give you the full can, and some don't.
Well, you have to ask for it. If you ask for it, they'll give it to you.
They say, I can serve three passengers a different beverage in the amount of time it takes to pour one stupid Diet Coke.
That, I would have
that's
thought,
why you ask for the can. Otherwise, all you get is foam.
I would have thought you would have said a mixed drink because they have to put the, you know, open up the little bottles.
Apparently not.
And then mix it up with the juice.
No, apparently not. If we will always notice if you're trying to join the Mile High Club. I got to tell you something. Back when the Wright brothers invented flying. And all the way through what, probably the 90s, maybe? Certainly into the 80s. There was probably enough room in there. There's not enough room in there now.
You can't even stand in there by yourself.
Exactly. You have to, it is tight to turn around alone. So you're going to get in there and give, you're going to get something going with somebody in that room? Are you kidding me?
Plus, it's so gross. Your feet stick to the floor and everything. It's just nasty.
It's kind of tough. You got to be really cranked up if you're going into that room. Mm-hmm. But they say that we will know if you're in there trying something because 9 times out of 10, it's a passenger who asks the flight attendants to intervene. First off, the doors aren't soundproof. Did you know that?
Yeah, because you can hear the flush.
Right. That giant sucking sound from inside. If we ask you to stop whatever you're doing, you should stop. Otherwise, you're going to have a very awkward conversation when you meet your cellmate. We will immediately inform the pilot. The pilot is the law of the land and the sky. And the pilot has the right to have you arrested when you land.
Which would
in other words, pay attention to your flight attendant.
You mean for any wrongdoing?
Yeah.
You're not talking about the Mile High thing.
Well, it's not. I mean, I wouldn't say it's illegal to have sex, but if you're causing a problem in the course of the flight for
disturbing
others,
other passengers.
Yeah, let's say a guy has a really significant need to use the bathroom and you're in there. That's a problem. Yeah.
You better stop.
Yeah. You know, you're flying to an airport. Wait an hour. Get a room. Is the moment going to pass for you if it's that good? Come on. Mile High Club.
I didn't know, though, that flight attendants weren't paid till the doors closed.
No, me neither.
And that's like if we weren't paid except when the mic's open.
Well, you know what time I walk in? That's when I start getting paid. It's 6:30. It's time for the news next. A big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. And Central DuPage Hospital's Vice President of Medical Affairs. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
How was your weekend?
It was great. A lot of golf. Almost too much.
Really?
Yeah.
You know how for like months you've been asking me to give you dates for a time we could play?
Yeah.
And you know, like I haven't really responded with those dates.
Yeah. Better not be today or tomorrow.
Why, are those days bad for you?
Yeah.
I will get back to you on that as soon as I quit sucking. And I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon. God, I'm awful. All right, so let's talk about a couple of things here. And, there's this a lot of new acronyms, I guess, in medicine. Certified nurse, midwife, and nurses that have different levels of certification as well. What is an APN?
Yeah. So an APN is an advanced practice nurse. A certified nurse practitioner, that's the other, CNP and APN, those are the two terms that we use. And essentially what it is, it's a nurse who has a bachelor's degree, who has gone on to have additional training, and essentially is either at a master's or doctorate level of nursing. And they play a great place on our team and our healthcare team, and are really going to be very important as we come into this physician shortage that we know we're going to hit.
All right. So what is a CNP, APN different or together? What are they able to do?
Well, essentially, they can do pretty much anything, to be honest with you. It's kind of interesting. We use them. Practices use them in different ways. You may go to your doctor's office. You may get in there for a checkup on your cholesterol, a checkup on your blood pressure, a checkup on your heart. And instead of seeing the doctor, you may see the APN. The APN will do a full exam, go over your medications, do the education, and then she might consult with the doctor. But what it allows is it allows the doctor to take at least care of new patients and more advanced patients and more chronic complex patients, I'll say, and allows the APN to see patients. So now instead of saying it's going to be 3 weeks before you can see Dr. X, we can get you in today or tomorrow and you'll see the APN who will then consult with the doctor.
Is that how it normally works? Like you would give the patient the choice when the call is made to schedule an appointment? In other words, you know, the doctor's not available until, but I could get you in with the APN or the others sooner.
Yep. Almost always that way. Sometimes they'll take their acute visits. In other words, I woke up this morning and I think I have bronchitis. I need to get in. They say, well, you know, we have some open slots. And then those open slots are sometimes the APN is going to take it, sometimes the doc. But for a scheduled appointment, they're going to let you know who you're going to be seeing. And for some of us, I mean, I just had my physical last week and saw the doctor. But if I go in 6 months from now for my cholesterol check and my blood pressure check, the doctor really doesn't need to do that. The APN can certainly do it. She can go over any new medications with me. She can go, or he or she, I shouldn't say it that way, can take a little bit more time with education with the patient than often the doctor has.
So when you go in to get a physical, do you actually review the physical while it's going on? Like you're getting a physical from another doctor, you go, ho, hey, ho, your hands are cold.
Yeah, I do actually. Fortunately, I have a really good doctor, and I really trust him. And I try to get in the room and say, you're a patient. You're not a doctor.
All right.
Let him do his work.
Yeah, and I don't know. It amuses me to see the image in my head of you getting a physical. I don't know why it does. You know, I'm 12. That's why it does. Dr. Kevin Most, Vice President.
That was great.
Didn't see that coming. Vice President of Medical Affairs, Northwestern Medicine and Central DuPage Hospital. All right, before we wrap up this discussion of the acronyms of the people that are going to be doing a good portion of the medical care as we go forward, talk to me for a second about the certified nurse midwife. When you hear midwife, I think Ayn Rand novels and delivering babies in the old days.
Well, it is essentially that. These are nurses that have gone on to do additional training in obstetrics, and they do deliveries. They do a lot of deliveries. So many hospitals have midwives that actually work in the hospital. And then there is a section of the population that says, you know what, I know I should have my baby in a hospital, but I want to deliver at home. And midwives actually do deliveries at home still for many people. But midwives are going to be that extra set of hands for the obstetrician, whether it's during a C-section, and then they're also going to be doing deliveries. They also do a lot of the prenatal care and the postnatal care. So they're monitoring that woman all through the pregnancy and then helping them deal with everything after the pregnancy as well.
What do we need you guys for anymore?
You know what? That's one thing. As I'm saying all these things, I'm going, hold on a second. Am I talking myself out of a job here? No. Well, you know the respect I have for nurses, and I can tell
absolutely.
You the APNs. The other place we really see them used a lot, and now people that are in the hospital will notice this, their doctor may come in round in the morning, but then during the day, the APN is the one that's checking in on them. The APN is the one who's going to sit with them and talk with them about tests that they're going to have or tests that they did have. So it allows for more face-to-face time with the patient. So it's actually elevating the quality of care that's being delivered.
Let me check with Kevin's not in today. Kevin's sick, but let me check with Ross on something. Ross, is my first grandchild going to be delivered by a certified nurse midwife?
Yes, actually.
Well, so see, Ross has already bought into this.
See?
Ross and Lauren.
cutting edge.
What I mean is Lauren has bought into this, and Ross said yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, let's talk about West Nile for a second. I haven't seen more than 3 mosquitoes all summer, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, there are no mosquitoes.
Well, that's because you don't play.
What? Where do you live?
I'm not kidding. I have seen nothing.
Get out.
Nothing.
Have you been outside at night?
I've been outside the entire summer. I've not been inside since April.
Oh, man. I've been getting pounded.
Getting devoured.
Me too.
That's not condensation on our window here. Those are all mosquitoes.
No. No.
They're breathing heavily, too.
Why do I have no mosquitoes? Mosquitoes love me.
Evidently not.
No. Right? Mosquitoes love me. Protein-rich blood. You know, ooh, they love it.
You know what's weird now, though? The mosquito bites that I've been getting, you know, normally get a little mosquito bite. They're big. They're almost like welt size now.
I don't know. Maybe it's just you, too, because I haven't seen. I'm not kidding you. I've seen 3 mosquitoes the entire summer.
Maybe it is us, Dave.
I sort of feel left out.
So no, it's not you. It's not you, too. Don't worry. It's him. Everyone else in the world, everyone else has been getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. So.
All right. So while the rest of you get West Nile virus, I'll just come to work.
We'll bring you some mosquitoes if you feel left out.
No, I'm fine. Yeah. Thanks. I've seen plenty of gnats. I saw 4 billion gnats yesterday on the golf course, but I no mosquitoes. Anyway, so you're telling me there are actual mosquitoes out there and people are actually getting West Nile virus?
There are, yes. You know, this is that West Nile time, and it's time to do a little education for people. So in Illinois, West Nile has been found in 24 counties. In the whole United States, there's been cases. We haven't had any cases in Illinois. A lot of cases in the middle of the country, Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, but nothing here in Illinois yet. But just to keep people informed, you know, make sure you put on some protective clothing. Make sure you wear DEET, you know, for an insect repellent, and try to stay away from being out at dusk.
Do those little
you're going to bed at dusk, Steve? That's why you're not.
That's
getting
true. Dead. That's true. Yeah.
Well, so are these two.
You know those little arm bracelets, though, that they sell, you know, for $1 that have the mosquito repellent? Those don't work, do they?
I don't think so.
Don't work that well.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to get something with DEET in it. And, you know,
you know what? I found something for gnats that actually works.
You did?
And I can't think of the name of it. I got to grab the product. It's in my golf bag.
Because they go under the brim of your hat. That's annoying.
Well, no, I spray. I've got about 47 hats in my car. And I spray, you know, 5 or 6 I'm willing to toss. And I spray the hats down with this stuff, and the gnats leave me alone.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to tell you about it because you're on the golf course.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about it.
I'm going to get that product name for next Monday. Ross, okay. Remind me for next Monday to have that for Dr. Most. Write that down in a file somewhere and put it somewhere where you'll remind me. All right, Doc. Thank you for all the acronyms. Again, we'll see our APNs and our CNMs and our CNPs, and occasionally we'll see our DRs.
Correct, every so often.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, well, one quick shout-out.
Yeah.
I played golf yesterday with a young kid, Rick Lamb, who's on the Web.com Tour. He's plays out of he's from South Bend, actually, played at Tennessee, but a great player. He was in Chicago and wanted to play a round of golf before he went out to Utah. But I'll tell you, watch this kid. He's a great kid, and really, he's got just the right mindset and great personality. And for all the listeners in South Bend, you guys got a class act there.
And what's his name?
Rick Lamp.
All right, and I would like
As in Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mary Had a Little Lamp.
Yep.
And I want to say,
L-A-B.
Almost Lamb. Has he seen any mosquitoes?
Yes, he has.
Seen a couple? I want to say hi to Jeremy from ConAgra, Jeremy and Brian, who works for the government on Lyle. They played golf with me yesterday in the Naperville City Championship. And also to a couple of people, Jeff Schoenoff from GNC, owns a couple of GNC stores, one in Aurora, one in Homer Glen. And my buddy Doug, who's one of the proud proprietors of On the Rocks in Joliet at Essington Road and in Romeoville on Butler Road. If you go down to Rocks and you mention Steve Cochran, Doug will let you drink for the same price. And Jeff Schoenoff, as I mentioned, at GNC. Anyway, I play golf with all those guys this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and I'd like to apologize. All right, Doc, I'll talk to you later.
You know what? Hey, Steve, that just tells parents out there, too, get your kids involved in golf. You meet a lot of nice people, and it's a great sport.
It is. It really is. And someday you may be lucky enough not to play with me.
That's true.
All right, I'll talk to you later. That's you Dr. Kevin Moe, Central DuPage Hospital, Northwestern Medicine. Steve Cochran Show continues next, 6:58 on 720 WGN.
After this family has had an opportunity to lay their loved one to rest, we're going to continue to ask for a thorough investigation of the circumstances surrounding the death of Sandra Bland.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Cannon Lambert's the attorney for the Sandra Bland's family, and Sharon Cooper, who you've seen as well, speaking on behalf of her sister over the past several days since this nightmare began for them. And the Sandra Bland story continues. Both Cannon Lambert and Sharon Cooper on the phone. Let's start with Sharon Cooper, if we can, and go there first. Good morning, Ms. Cooper.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
That's actually Steve now, a different person on the phone, but nice to talk to you. I'm so sorry about your loss.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So I think the perplexing thing that we all are confused about is what we see in the video. And you know the world we live in now. We judge very quickly based on what we see in video. And we don't know the whole story. But there didn't seem to be anything that indicated anything more than a traffic stop that got out of hand. So how does that go from that to a suicide?
That's a great question. I have to be honest with you. Based off of what we have seen on the dash cam video, we were so thrilled to be able to give Sandy a phenomenal home going this past weekend.
Right.
Compared to what she may have experienced in the days leading up to her departure from this side of the earth. So I will tell you, Steve, that I don't know the answer to that question. As you can imagine from what you've seen out there in the media, we're not getting the information that we've asked for the way that we should. When the media is getting it is when we're getting it. So, therefore, that has left us with a significant amount of concern regarding the thoroughness and transparency of the investigation.
Is there a theory that the family has as to what might have happened? And what do we know or what do you know that you're comfortable talking about in relation to the phone call audio that was released? Because the last phone call we heard, I guess it was to a friend of hers, maybe it was to you, that said, still don't know what's going on, hope to be out soon, talk to you soon, call me back, that call.
Well, Steve, listen, the theory is something that, frankly speaking, I think they are proffering, right? I mean, they're the ones that are telling us how this happened, and we are seeking more information so that we can gain a better understanding. The reality of it is that so much of the information that will help to glean or shed light on this situation still rests in their hands. And the piecemeal way in which it's kind of being parsed out is something that is a little troubling and a little confusing, frankly.
Cannon Lambert's the attorney for the family, and we understand this county has had some racial issues in the past. Is that relevant at this point?
Obviously, when you have people running for president, when you have state leaders that are all able to see that this is just another instance in a long line of situations where African Americans have been targeted and treated disparately, that's a situation that is pretty obvious.
Cannon,
one sec though, Cannon, because I just want to make sure people understand this because I want to be consistent where I've been as well, and I'll back cops 1,000% until I see a reason that I shouldn't. But in the same way, we don't want, all black folks lumped into one group. All cops shouldn't be lumped into one group as treating African-Americans poorly as well. I don't want people to think that's what you're saying unless that's what you're saying.
No, I think you're exactly right. I agree with you 1,000%. I've got family members that are police officers and friends that are police officers. The ultimate situation, though, is that this particular instance kind of falls in line with many of the types of situations we've seen previously.
Cannon, the family conducted its own independent autopsy separate from Waller County. When will you release those findings?
Well, we don't have full findings. As you probably well know, much of what happens is that we have to get information from them. For example, the toxicology. We've got there's a whole host of things that we have to get from them. We don't have the ligature. And once we get that, then we're able to provide it to our pathologists who will then look at the situation and then come to an ultimate conclusion.
Talking with Sharon Cooper, sister to Sandra Bland, and Cannon Lambert, attorney for the family. Sharon, when was the last time you were able to speak with her?
So, Steve, I have an older sister who was able to speak with Sandra on Saturday afternoon, roughly around 1:50. And she basically relayed the very same thing that's out there in that voicemail message from the friend, was that she was in jail based off of a routine traffic stop, that she just visited the magistrate, and that she needed $500 for bail, which we said to her, or my sister said to her, okay, we will work on it expeditiously. And that was the very last time that we heard from her, was Saturday afternoon.
So your family goes to work on getting $500 to Wells Fargo or whatever just to wire the money at that point, I assume.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And then when did you get the call that she was gone?
Oh, the family got the call on Monday, July 13th. I would say in the mid-afternoon. I was at work and unfortunately got the news at work in the late afternoon. And it has been a nightmare since Monday, July 13th.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Cannon, can you speak to that at all, as why a woman would be locked up the entire weekend for a traffic stop?
I can tell you that sometimes there are instances where police officers are not quite happy with the person who they interface with. And then on a Friday, when many times you're able to kind of ensure that the person goes to jail for the weekend because they can't be seen by the judge for bail and that sort of thing, that might possibly sometimes at least be a motivation. I don't know precisely because we've not obviously spoken to the trooper, but I can tell you that sometimes there are motivations beyond just apprehending someone.
And can either one of you address the fact that there's been media reports that Sandra dealt with significant depression and may have tried to take her life previously?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Steve. You know, it's been predicated off of a post that she put up on her well-known blog called Sandy Speaks. And I really do believe that video was just to highlight some of the peaks and valleys of life, per se. You know, they show a snippet of that video, but the totality of that video basically states that if you're having a hard time and you're feeling down, you know, she shared that she was anchored in God, and that video really transitioned into remnants of hope. So,
yeah, you know, I'm glad that you spoke to that, because, and your family obviously would know if she was struggling deeply, but it's very, I've lost a couple of friends to suicide. And it's very difficult to believe the transition that could have taken place between the clip we saw on Friday and what happened on Saturday and obviously what you guys found out about on Monday. It's really a lot of questions here, but let me throw this at Cannon before we run out of time. Cannon Lambert, again, the attorney for the family. The extension of a conspiracy here is getting wider. If the coroner is involved and others are involved, you know, the logical question for me would be, there's going to have to be an awful lot of people lying. What possible reason would they all have to lie?
Listen, all things are possible as it relates to what happened. And it's not a situation where this family is saying that they know. And if it was a situation where it was suicide, as tragic as that would be, the reality is that you need to show us. We need to understand. They've said numerous times, give us the information. Let us process that information. And from there, wherever it leads us, it leads us.
It's a completely fair request. And what are you hearing other than no?
Well, we're not even hearing no. We're not hearing.
That's the thing that makes it outrageous and makes more questions come up. And it's easy to go to what are they trying to hide? Listen, I can't tell you how sorry we are about all of this, but I appreciate you coming on and hope we can contact you again for any updates. But good luck, and my best to your family, Sharon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us on, Steve.
There you go.
Sharon
Cooper and Cannon Lambert. And the other thing that strikes me, too, as you talk to these guys, they're not unreasonable people at all. This is not screaming and shouting, and this is not, oh, my God, Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives do matter. But this isn't some political campaign that they're trying to wage here. They're saying, we want to find out what happened to our sister. We have legitimate questions. If it leads down the path you claim to be true, then we'll deal with that at this time. But you haven't answered our questions. I mean, they seem completely reasonable about what they're asking.
I completely agree. And I think the questions that they're asking are reasonable, too. What I think stands out most are, was this video edited, which it clearly was on the dash cam? Because you see a white car coming in one direction, and then a fraction of a second later, the car evaporates. You get the second mugshot now that came into question when her eyes were closed. And then the allegation by the Texas prosecutors that she might have smoked pot in jail. What jail do you know of where you can just light up, toke up, and the cell.
Yeah, and if she was such a dangerous prisoner, as they seem to try to be intimate here, why would they allow anything to go on that could be, you know, contraband related?
Right. So these are, I think these are very legitimate questions.
I don't know. I feel horrible for the family, obviously, and they deserve, like anybody, they deserve answers. But I think people need to realize this doesn't sound like a political campaign. This sounds like people that want to know what happened to their family. New polling shows that Donald Trump was not impacted negatively, at least in the polls taken since the John McCain asinine comments. He has 18% of the Republicans surveyed. Close second is Jeb Bush. Look, that makes you think two things, I suppose. One is it's early, and 4 years ago, the congresswoman from Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann, and who is the businessman who was sleeping or was not sleeping with Herman Cain, who was assaulting all the women.
Herman Cain.
Yeah, Herman Cain. Now, a talk show host, by the way. It's a proud business. Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann were amongst the leaders at this time 4 years ago. So it's early, but it also is frightening. It's frightening to think that this jackass Donald Trump can continue to lead on the Republican side. Now, if in some way you're supporting Trump, I would like you to soak your head for 15 minutes and come up for air, because he will not be elected. He will not be elected. He will not win the nomination, and he will not be elected. Head to head, he loses to Bernie Sanders. Not Colonel Sanders.
No.
Bernie Sanders. So if you want to ensure, as a Republican, a Democratic victory, you know, keep supporting Trump. Now, is everything Trump says ridiculous? No. Trump says things that do ring with people who are tired of the same political nonsense. I'll give you an example. Rick Perry yesterday was on, the former governor of Texas, was on CNN and was asked this very simple question, and he gave the traditional political answer. For instance, I'll give you the answer. Ask me, this is how a politician answers a question. Ask me how the weather is.
Are you Steve?
Well, yeah, I can be Governor Perry.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's the weather today, Governor?
Well, you know, the science that we have right now could support either a partly cloudy or a partly sunny situation. And I think once you analyze the data, which we plan on doing after forming a committee to take a look at it, we should be able to come back with a positive or a negative answer. And I think at that time, it's probably appropriate to comment. But now it's probably too early.
I think that's extremely accurate.
That's what your answer. Politicians say. Nothing.
Know.
Nothing. So at least Trump is saying something. I think that's what people are responding to. Trump is saying something. Now, the echo is Trump's head up his own butt. But Trump is saying something. Now, the something that he's saying is ridiculous. It's out of line. And I believe that he's dangerous. However, he's getting a lot of free advertising for whatever his future efforts will be. For everybody going, well, is this his idea to get more attention? He thrives on attention. All the things that he is saying are specifically to gain more attention. I don't know Donald Trump. I don't think he wants the job. I think his worst nightmare would be if he had the job of president. As Donald Trump, he can continue to be Donald Trump. As president of the United States, he couldn't do 10% of what Donald Trump does. And you think we've had a gridlock in Congress now? Watch Congress work with Donald Trump. Oh, that's right. They wouldn't.
I'm really rich.
Yeah. And he's not bragging. So at 7:29, it's late to start this, but let's start a texter question. The texter question is, if Trump were elected president, what would he rename in this country? Because he loves putting his name on things.
You mean like, can I throw one out there?
Sure.
Like the Trump House?
Yeah, not the White House, the Trump House.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the Capitol, it would be the Trumpital. Yeah, that type of thing. Yeah. So, and instead of the dome on the Capitol, it would be a big hairpiece. Like a big weave over the top of the Capitol Dome. So what would Trump rename? And what would the name be? Could be anything. Could be anywhere. You could text us at 312-981-7200. Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Hi. Well, I'm not a scientist either. I'm just a grandmother with two eyes and a brain. And I know we're facing a huge problem from climate change.
It has been a nightmare since Monday, July 13th.
He's appealing to the dark side of American politics.
He is not offering solutions to hard, complicated problems.
Now, back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well done, Ross Cochran. Kevin is off today because Kevin has a head cold. A cold. Ross gave Kevin the cold and is now running the show. Conspiracy? At 7:41, you know, I'm slamming on Springfield as much as I can because I do it so you don't have to. But when somebody does something right in Springfield, I think it ought to be held up for acclaim as well. And joining us now is State Rep. David McSweeney. He's a Republican from Barrington Hills. Good morning, Mr. McSweeney. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you being on. So guess what, everybody? The people in Springfield are getting a raise. I know. You know what? You got to laugh, David. It's ridiculous.
It's beyond ridiculous. We don't have a budget. People are talking about revenue enhancements. Everybody out there, that's a code word for a major tax increase. Watch your wallet. And they want a pay increase. It's beyond outrageous. I mean, it's comical.
So this automatic pay increase. Now, you remember Governor Quinn shut down everybody's pay checks.
Right.
And then there was a court challenge and everything had to be reinstituted and all of that. There is a law in place that makes these pay increases automatic. And you, Representative McSweeney, you wanted to turn this down. You can't even turn it down.
No. In fact, I called the comptroller's office and said, I don't want it. I want to give it back. In fact, I've actually cut my own pay 10% voluntarily. And they said, you know what? You have to take it. So I gave the money to charity. I gave it to a local charity in McHenry County that helps the developmentally disadvantaged. I gave it to the Knight Ministry in Chicago that helps homeless people. This is just outrageous. I mean, people in this state, you have to know that they're about to raise our taxes. They're talking about revenue again, and people are getting hurt by not having a budget. Let's just do our job, forget about the pay increase, and try to change the state by adopting some policies that are going to create some jobs in the state.
Representative, we know that you know that the public is frustrated, that Illinois residents are frustrated. What's the level of frustration by lawmakers, you know, specifically yourself, in Springfield?
Well, I think a lot of people are upset in Springfield and want to get a budget done now. I'm sick of the name calling and the Twitter accounts and people calling each other names. I mean, we need to adopt a budget, a balanced budget, without a tax increase. But keep saying, just watch very closely what people are saying. Whenever somebody says new revenue, that means a job-killing tax increase. That's what people want to do here, and frankly, there are people on both sides of the aisle talking about it. And what we need to do is fundamentally change the state. And Bruce Browner is trying to adopt some pro-growth economic policies so we could actually bring jobs to Illinois, but we also need to do that without a tax increase.
So just because everybody else is frustrated here doesn't mean anything's going to change. We all would like to storm Springfield with burning clubs at this point and try to scale the castle walls. But having said that, outside of you and a select few others, do the people who have been elected who assemble in Springfield, do they get how pissed off everybody is?
They're starting to get the message loud and clear. And I think people who are listening, you know, make sure you know that I'm listening and many of your representatives are, but please keep the pressure on Springfield. Tell them you want a balanced budget without a tax increase and we've got to stop the madness, because that's what it is, madness, giving a pay increase to members of the General Assembly. We aren't doing our job.
Well, and again, you know, it comes back to the same argument. I've been beating this horse for years. The math doesn't work. The pension plan as it stands, it's not your fault. You weren't asked to contribute. It was part of your contribution. It was part of the agreement you had when you took the job. But the math doesn't work going forward, and it has to change. And what Rauner has suggested is not only not outrageous, it actually makes sense. And for the people of California to come up with a solution for their mess through a 401k, and for the rest of us having to live in that sort of benefit world, you could start tomorrow. Every new employee that comes into the system ought to be under a different system.
I agree. And they adopted a tier, what they call the Tier 2 system, but it doesn't have 401ks. I think 401ks are the key, and also for existing employees. We're working within the limitations now of the Supreme Court ruling on pensions. All that said, we need to change the system. We need to look at a constitutional amendment that will allow future cost of living adjustments to be paid, protect what has been earned to date. President Cullerton actually has had some constructive ideas around this whole proposal on ways to reduce the cost of living adjustments. But in the meantime, instead of raising taxes, we should restructure this pension debt. That's one of the things that we can do right now. We could save $1.5 billion dollars by simply going to 80% funding instead of 90% funding by 2055. We should look at that instead of raising taxes. But I agree, the system is broken. It needs to get fixed so we can save the system.
Again, it's Representative David McSweeney who's taking his mandatory pay raise. Hey, just like you guys, a mandatory pay raise. Just taking his mandatory pay raise and saying, no, I don't want it. And when he was told he had to take it, he's giving it to charity. I would love for that challenge to be heard by others. You're certainly welcome here. I'll put you on as well. You can talk about the fact that you turned it down. But we found you, Representative. I don't want people to understand. We found Representative McSweeney and said, this is a guy that we ought to be talking about. And I respect the fact that you say there's problems on both sides, because there clearly are.
Absolutely. And what we need to do is be in session around the clock to adopt a budget, because not only are people talking about tax increases, but some of the social service agencies for the truly needy are starting to get hurt. And we're playing games in Springfield. We're not doing our jobs. We shouldn't get a pay increase. They should, frankly, lock us in the Capitol, and we shouldn't be able to come out until we adopt a budget without a tax increase.
Appreciate your time. I hope we can call you again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. And you can check out Representative McSweeney on his website through the Illinois.gov website, where you can search any of your reps.
What a great solution, too, because that's the main question that everybody gets, especially the lawmakers. Why aren't they in session now, not 24-7? I know, like he suggested, but why aren't they working to fix this budget?
Well, why not 24-7? Why not 24-7?
Wait till August 4th till they get back.
Yeah, 24-7 would be great. Ross, who was the pope you were telling me about the other day that they couldn't pick a pope and they locked everybody in the Vatican and they eventually took the roof off the Vatican and they threw things at the people until they voted?
Yeah, Springfield should go back to the second century conclave that they were just ransacking the town. All the cardinals decided that they were just going to live it up, take advantage of the small town. So they were in a barn, and the townspeople went up because they weren't picking a pope and ripped the barn off and threw feces at them until they got it fixed.
Yeah, now I'm not saying we throw feces at the elected reps yet. Was it what?
Was it Pope Innocent? Wasn't there a...
Well, it sounds like it was Pope Hilarious, because that is a hilarious story. As Kevin is all hopped up on the NyQuil, Ross is running the program this morning. And glad to have you here. Thanks for listening to the Steve Cochran Show, number 458, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, on Facebook, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. And hear the podcast everywhere you can pick up podcasts. I can't think of a single place you can't get it. But let me focus on a few. The WGN Radio app, WGNRadio.com, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and give me one more. iTunes. It's your iTunes store. So all of those. I asked a texter question and said, well, you know, if that idiot Trump actually gets elected, what would he rename? Here's a few. Donald Trump would rename Mount Rushmore to Mount Trumpmore. The new Big Four would be Trump, Cy Sperling from the Hair Club, Maury from Goodfellas, and the inventor of the Floby. That's pretty strong. Do you remember the Floby?
Yeah.
The vacuum hair cutting system?
Yeah, you just put your hair right in the vacuum cleaner and start cutting.
Yeah.
It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
I tried to save some money and just use the Electrolux. It didn't work out well for me, as you can tell. Donald Trump would rename the Great Lakes to the Trump Lakes. The Great Trump Lakes. How about Mount Trumpmore again? Another Mount Trumpmore.
Mount Trumpmore, yeah.
This is good. Where would you put all of his hair pieces, his weaves? Where would you put all of the Trump stuff? Why, you'd put it in the Trumpsonian. The Smithsonian would become the Trumpsonian Museum.
And he'd probably put signs on all these, too,
On
the White House.
Obnoxious, terrible signs.
Yeah.
What would you call the airplane? Trump Force One.
Oh, yeah.
Trump Force One. You see the side of, remember he had an airline?
Yeah, he is. He flies around in the helicopter.
But he had his own airline. He had Trump Air. Remember that?
Yeah.
And it went bankrupt, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, let's put him in charge. Yeah, definitely. Trump Force One. Trump doesn't want to be president because the White House had downgraded to a standard of living.
I'm really rich.
Instead of Homeland Security, everyone would be in charge of protecting Trump in Trumpland Security. That's good. It's not Washington, D.C. It's Washington, D.T. It's Washington. This is your hometown.
Yeah, I don't.
The
I'm not
district
buying that.
Of Trumpia.
No.
But a lot of Mount Trump wars in here.
One of them says that they'll redo the Statue of Liberty, and it'll just be a statue of him, Statue of Trump. Coming from the 630.
How about a Golden Gate comb over? They just have a hair weave go over the top of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grand Canyon would become Trump Canyon. Blue Ridge Mountains would be the Trump Ridge Mountains. The Statue of Trump, which Ross just mentioned. I'm telling you, there's some great suggestions here. It says if he brings a dog into the White House, it would be his own personal trumpet. The United States of Donald and the Statue of Trump. Well, there you go. And that's just the beginning.
This is all quite frightening. Mm-hmm. Can I just say that?
Amy Cochran, one of the world's nicest people, as you know, suggested yesterday that if Trump were to be elected, everyone she knows has to move to Canada immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Or Mexico. That might be more fitting in this
Well,
case.
She likes hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 7:56. Back with your news next and 720 WGN. Got a couple of people defending Trump on the text lines, too. 815, all of our politicians are self-centered dirtbags already. At least Trump is upfront about it. I think probably that was poorly worded if you're trying to defend Trump. But I'd agree with you. Trump is a self-centered dirtbag, and he's willing to admit it. Number again for you texters, 312-981-7200. And if I hear one more person with a fully functioning brain say, at least Donald Trump is saying what we're all thinking. No, he's not. No, he's not saying what I'm thinking. No.
Nor me.
Is he representing you?
No.
Dave, is Donald Trump speaking for you?
He's not speaking for me. No.
Right. Laura Vaughn, is Donald Trump speaking for you?
No way.
No. Ross Cochran, Donald Trump speaking for you?
Nobody's speaking for him.
Nobody's speaking. There we are. Hey. No, he's not.
Orion Samuelson, is Trump talking for you out in Arizona?
Never. No,
okay. Just to be clear.
Although I would like to just say, you're fired at some point.
From the 219, instead of
not to you.
Instead of vetoing a bill, Trump would trumpet.
That's good.
Oh, that is pretty good.
The Washington Monument would have Trump in large black letters running down the front of it. And the Trump head fountain spilling water into the pool in front of the monument.
You know, I did find a redeeming quality, something that you might even love about Donald Trump. I think Kim Gordon told me this last week, that most of, I think it was 80% of Donald Trump's money now comes from his golf courses.
His profits?
Yeah, his profits.
Yeah, probably.
It's all golf. But mainly golf.
But I quit. I quit golf yesterday.
You don't have anything in common with him.
I played Saturday. I played, you know. I had 9 good holes out of 36 this weekend and thought I'd turned it around.
You should explain, though, playing bad for you is what, shooting 80?
Oh, not at all. No, okay. I played terrible this weekend.
Okay. Because you play well.
84, 87 or something.
And why is that bad? That's a great score.
It's terrible. I should. You know what? Someone should go down to my... Here, I'm going to give you my keys. Go down to my car, take my clubs, and throw them in the river.
And it would die for that score.
Throw my clubs in the river.
Right? 84?
Can I just have your clubs?
Can I have your car?
Oh, they are pretty good clubs.
Yeah. They're ice blue Impala?
No, you can't have my car.
They're ice blue clubs.
You can get a picture taken with Trump now. It's going to catch on. This is from the 708. It's called a Trumpy.
Oh, yeah, instead of a selfie.
But it's not something you request. It's something Trump makes you do, so he's in another photo. It's a Trumpy. And the mall in Washington that runs from the White House, or the Capitol to the White House?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're the Capitol to, I guess, the steps of the monument, right?
Goes from the, well... You have the reflecting pool
between
the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's your town. I don't want to speak for your town. But the mall area there in Washington would be renamed the Walk de Trump.
Oh, like in like the Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah, the Walk de Trump.
Trump. We put a PH on the end.
Oh, he's a jackass. All right, let's go right to Dean now, and without the musical introduction, because it's a sad story we have to lead off with. Good morning, Dean.
It is. Good morning. I mean, it's the story that we all knew was coming, but it's just so tragic. I mean, not only the death of a 22-year-old Bobby Christina Brown, but really this tragic, tumultuous life that she led.
Money doesn't solve anything, kids.
Right?
If you don't have normal, in quotes, loving parents, and if you're not raised right, also in quotes, you don't have a shot. And I don't know that she ever had a shot.
Yeah, I don't question that her parents didn't love her, but her parents, Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston, certainly had their own share of troubles. Both, you know, personally, together as a couple, both of them problems with drugs and substance abuse, well documented on the reality show Being Bobby Brown, where we saw a 10-year-old Bobby Christina Brown, you know, being used as a pawn between the two, and you know, just in the middle of this incredibly, incredibly dysfunctional and seemingly drug-filled environment. You hoped that somehow that she would have a better life, somehow get out of that spiral, but it just seemed to continue.
Well, you think about it, right? The Whitney Houston that we knew, the Whitney Houston that became a megastar in the 80s, and the Whitney Houston that we knew that couldn't figure out why she ended up with Bobby Brown, we were shocked to see her go from this incredibly beautiful, incredibly talented, one of the greatest voices of all times, megastar, superstar, and spiral into this life of drugs and this mess that she was in. Her daughter never saw anything but that between her parents.
Yeah, it sure seemed that way. It seemed like, that's what she grew up with. That's what she knew. That's what her reality was.
And how about they both die the same way?
And then, right, Bobby. Then Bobby Christina's world crashed in underneath her when Whitney Houston, 3 years ago, was found dead, unconscious, in a bathtub at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. She tried to recover from that. There are multiple reports of what her life has been like since then. There is an ongoing investigation as to what may have happened to her. The young man that Whitney Houston sort of adopted, never legally adopted, but brought into her house, Nick Gordon, became Bobby Christina's constant companion, boyfriend at one point, and there was talk that they were married, although they've never been able to prove that they were legally married, which is an issue now with what will happen to Bobby Christina's estate. She inherited Whitney Houston's entire $115 million estate and, the future rights for music, licensing, publishing.
So there's a lot of money to be
likenesses.
Fighting over.
There's a lot of money.
What about criminal questions here? Because, is it an accidental death, or are they still looking into possible foul play? They had kind of a rough relationship, too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They're still investing. There's still an open criminal investigation. This Nick Gordon, the boyfriend, is said to be a person of interest. That's as far as anyone will go to this moment. There is a civil suit as well in which the Houston family is accusing Nick Gordon of stealing $11,000 from her after the bathtub incident with Bobby Christina, taking the money after the bathtub incident, and also physically abusing her. So there's still plenty of litigation still to come as to all of this. I've been just trying to figure out as best as I can what will happen to this money now. Bobby Christina was supposed to get 10% of the inheritance when she turned 21, which she did last year. She was scheduled to inherit another 15% at age 25 that she'll never see, and then the remainder at the age of 30, according to a report online that the terms of Whitney Houston's will says that if anything would have happened to Bobby Christina, that Sissy Houston, the grandmother, will be next in line to inherit that estate. One thing that is very definite is that Bobby Brown will not see any of that Bobby Christina money, that the money will revert back to the Houston family. And Sissy Houston and her two sons will be the ones who will get full royalties from music, likeness, image. It's said to be about $115 million.
Let's get some traffic in here. And there's a couple of clips I want Dean to play for you. One's from Bobby Christina's appearance with Oprah. And the other is Sissy Houston, the grandmother, Whitney Houston's mom. We'll get to that in a second. Back with Dean Richards. It's harder, you know, I mean, I know it's been a couple of years now. It's kind of hard to imagine that Whitney Houston's gone.
It's surreal.
Right?
Just hearing that voice again, just surreal of this vortex that this family went through, and this poor young woman, almost as if she never had a chance from the day that she was born.
Bizarre.
You know, that's the sadness of this. Bobby Christina was with Whitney Houston on the day that Whitney died. They were at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. It was they were staying there because the Grammy Awards were about to take place. And in an interview with Oprah Winfrey, Bobby Christina talked about, you know, how, you know, she wanted to be with her mother. She, in a sense, that her mother was going through some things and just wanted to spend time with her. And also talked to Oprah Winfrey about how she dealt with this death that, crashed in the light of her life.
Does it seem real yet to you that she's actually gone? Does it seem real?
Sometimes, no. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's so surreal that, you know, I still walk in the house like, Mom, hear her voice, you know, in spirit talking to me and telling me, you know, keep moving, baby. Mm-hmm. I'm right here. I got mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. So that was 2012 when that interview took place with Oprah. And then a year later, Oprah sat down with the grandmother, Sissy Houston, who, is the matriarch of this family, and, tried to keep an eye out for her granddaughter. I mean, she could only do so much, as you could hear in this interview with Oprah, that she saw her granddaughter going down the same path that her daughter went down.
Do you think your granddaughter may be headed down the wrong road?
She very well could be if she's not, because she's hot-headed too.
There have been rumors about her being on drugs. Has anybody told you about that?
Yeah, I heard it. But I can't get her on the phone to talk to her, like, you know. Mm-hmm. You know how kids are. She's 19, she thinks she's old, she knows everything.
Mm-hmm. Would it break your heart to know if she were on drugs?
No, it would really, really break my heart.
Yeah, so the family this morning is saying, you know, they're very thankful to everybody for their prayers. They're glad that Bobby Christina now is in the hands of God, that her suffering is over. I mean, 6 months pretty much 6 months in a medically induced coma. They took her off of life support about a month ago. They actually medevaced her here to Chicago to the Rehab Institute to have doctors there examine her to see if there was anything that could be done. They determined there was not, so they took her back to the Atlanta area where they put her in hospice, took her off of life support, and she lived for about like 3-4 weeks. After life support was taken off.
It's it's just sad. It's just very, very sad. And, if you're of a Christian faith or whatever your faith is, hopefully you believe that she's with her mom now. And, you know, there's some peace there. Michael Jackson's father, Joe Jackson. Boy, I tell you what, if we knew the truth about Joe Jackson's life all the way through, I'm guessing that's not going to be a pretty story. But anyway, he's got to be how old?
Here we go with one of our famous somebody's very sick stories.
Yeah, is he 80?
Here we come with our trademark respect when someone's in intensive care.
Yeah, Joe Jackson, is he old?
He's 87.
87?
Is he old? Is he old? What do you mean? Is he old?
No, I was going to say, is he over?
Oh.
At 87.
He's 87 years old, and so he, you know, what 87-year-old doesn't go to Brazil to celebrate their birthday? That's what he did, and reportedly suffered a stroke while he's there. He's in the Albert Einstein Hospital there. They're not releasing anything more that he is in intensive care.
Why is there an Albert Einstein Hospital in Brazil?
I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that there's
where all the smart doctors are.
I hope that there's a picture of Albert Einstein in the lobby with that wild hairdo.
What if your doctor came in and he had the Albert Einstein hair?
I think I would rather have the Albert Brooks hair.
Wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
So he's not doing well. And then this is, I don't know about Swedish authorities, but Snoop Dogg was arrested for,
hard to believe,
for suspicion of possession of drugs. You know what I'd be suspicious of if he didn't have drugs on him?
He was in Sweden doing a concert. The police there said that they observed him driving erratically. And they arrested him. They did
Doggy got to drive.
Did a drug test. Snoop says that they stopped him for no reason, that he was racially profiled. The police say that had nothing to do with it. They observed him driving erratically. So we'll know in a couple of weeks when the results of the drug test come back.
S-N-O-O-P-D-O-G. Drop it like it's hot.
I like it. I just see the Swedish police.
At the Holiday Inn.
Das ist the Snoop Dogg, yeah. Like the Swedish chef on.
Yeah, the Swedish chef arrested him.
Happy birthday, birthday, sweet Snoop Doggy.
Oh, suspicion of drug possession, please. All right, thanks for everything, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
That's Dean Richards. We're back in a moment with the big story. And there's a couple in Chicago that had a really terrible thing happened to them on their wedding day. I want to bring up this story for you. I wonder if we can get on the phone and help them, maybe.
I hope we could. This is really sad.
829. They're okay.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're okay. 829. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Now, back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All I want to do is call. When your tummy aches, build you a fire.
Remember when Adam Sandler made fun movies you like to watch?
I love this movie.
The Wedding Singer.
Yep.
Made a couple of movies with, what's her face? Crooked Mouth.
Drew Barrymore. Why do you call her Crooked Mouth?
She's got a whole Crooked Mouth situation going on.
She's so cute. And I also like Big Daddy. I know he really got pounded for that one, but that was so cute.
Oh, the little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. And actually, the serious role he had in the post 9/11 movie, he was good. Now it's all bad. It's called Rain on Me. Was that what it was? Yeah. We play the Wedding Singer song in honor of Daylene Morero and Andrew Taylor. On their wedding day, things weren't actually so great. She prepared for her wedding on Friday. This is all in your Chicago Tribune. This is 2 days ago. Daylene Morrell got a phone call from her fiancé. She expected him just to say, I love you. Instead, she could hear sirens in the background. He said smoke was billowing out of their Chicago apartment on Campbell Ave. So they started freaking out at the hotel. She's 27. He's 28. And he said, it's going to be fine. Maybe we're not going to lose everything. He was able to knock on the doors of more than 20 tenants on the second floor of the West Side apartment building and escape with their pit bull mix and their tuxedo. Everything else was left behind, including the wedding rings. A fire marshal later salvaged her doused marriage license and a letter Taylor planned to read at the ceremony. But two of the groomsmen next door were not home during the fire and lost a dog and a cat. Like the bride and groom, most of the tenants who lived on the second floor were are artists. The groomsmen lost designer costumes and equipment used during circus performances. Barrera lost the silks and costumes she uses. She's an aerial acrobat. Taylor lost paintings and instruments. There are photos and journals that are gone. You know, it all reminds me of when Spike lost his house.
I remember that. And people were giving him, you know, donations and things like that. I mean, because they lost everything, including
right.
their dog.
Right.
But I remember we all pitched in and got them just utensils. I know it sounds crazy, but
no, they didn't have anything.
A pizza cutter, just things like that.
Yeah.
Little things that you don't have anymore.
The couple was largely in a daze, they admitted. For the ceremony, they borrowed an uncle's ring, and she used her engagement ring. One of the groomsmen who lost his tuxedo pulled together an outfit with the help of friends. Taylor said he was able to get in a wedding mood as soon as he saw Morrero walk down the aisle. This is an amazing thing. It's goosebump stuff, I think.
I do too.
These kids lost their home. And in the middle of not knowing how bad the fire is, they go on with the wedding.
And their livelihood, too. Think about
that.
Paintings, things like that that you need just to work.
I was the saddest I've ever been in my whole life and the happiest as well. It was one crazy day, a roller coaster of emotions. The next day, the couple agreed. Numbness hit. We find ourselves making completely inappropriate fire jokes because we have to try and laugh.
Yeah.
News spread fast, and support has come in. Friends brought them clothes and toiletries. Another friend started a GoFundMe page. Meanwhile, they're unofficially honeymooning on a friend's pull-out couch. They won't be allowed to re-enter the building to salvage what they can. They hope they can at least find their wedding rings. But if you you know, are moved by the story, by the way, Daily Mirror, the wife says, I'm happy, I'm super happy I married my best friend. It's all we ever dreamed of. It's a bump in the road. I know we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you getting married and on your wedding day, it's the best day and the worst day of your life?
Yep. And the anniversaries, what are those going to be like?
You look back, right? In some way, wouldn't this help them figure out everything going down the road? They'd go, well, we're going through some struggles here, but remember, it's not as bad as that.
Right. And Spike had the best line, too. He said, aside from losing, you know, his pet, and then they lost some of their pets, too, which that you can't replace that.
Right.
But everything else is just stuff. You can replace almost anything.
It's just so life-changing. I remember when I was a little kid, we had a fire. And I don't know, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And I just remember how scary the whole thing was. Mm-hmm. And it was only like part of the house.
Yeah, it's horrible. Here's a bright spot of this. They set up this GoFundMe page, which is so cool. And they wanted to raise $5,000, you know, just to kind of get them on their feet and moving again. That fund in one day is up to $8,215.
Man, if you
so
go
that's
to
pretty cool.
GoFundMe and search Daylene, Daylene. I'm sure you'll find it because it's an unusual name. And we'll post a link to it as well, but good luck to them. A couple of the stories are out there that have nothing to do with that story. If you butt dial someone, do you think that's a private situation?
By the way, you butt dialed me about 2 weeks ago. Did
I butt dialed you?
Yeah, it was about a minute and a half.
Did you hear anything good?
I think you were golfing.
Was it muffled?
No, I heard bing, you know, like a golf shot. It was muffled. Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
Butt dialing is a problem in the case of Bertha Mae Huff and James Harold Huff. Versus Carol Spa, the latter received a butt dial from James Huff. It's more than a little unfortunate. James Huff at the time was chairman of Kentucky's Kenton County Airport Board. He was in Italy for a business conference. Spa was senior executive of the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport CEO. In the words of the court, Spa believes she heard James Huff and the airport board vice chairman Savage engaged in a discussion to discriminate unlawfully against McGraw, and felt it was her responsibility to record the conversation and report it. It's gone all the way to the Supreme Court in the state of Kentucky. Your butt dials are no longer private, admissible in court, and those who butt dialed lost the case.
Okay, if somebody butt dials you,
yeah,
and you realize this is something that could be potentially incriminating, how can you all of a sudden figure out a way to record it? I mean, can you record it on your phone? I can't think of a program or an app that would.
There's got to be an app that you can do it,
but
illegal.
I mean, you'd have to think pretty. It's illegal, but you would also have to kind of think that was coming.
That you'd have to have the app downloaded.
You'd have to be ready to record this, yeah. And she happens
totally agree.
To get this call.
Totally agree. Yeah. So what you're saying is your butt dial should be private.
How do you make the butthole?
Thank you, Mary.
That too.
Thank you, Mary. Has anybody ever heard anything good on a butt dial?
No, it's usually muffled.
Yeah,
Laura's awfully quiet.
Yeah.
I think she's hiding something.
How about butt dial voicemail? When it goes to your voicemail and it goes on and on,
yeah.
You're hearing someone's entire ride.
Oh, anytime. I mean, I get butt dials every couple of weeks, yeah. And anytime you look at the log, you know, you click it on your phone and you see the times for each call. And a voicemail that's 5 minutes long is a butt dial.
Right.
Because your voicemail fills up and it shuts off.
So right. Do you listen?
You know who butt dials me all the time is Patty Vasquez. Patty Vasquez. Ooh. I get a butt dial from Patty Vasquez every couple of weeks.
That's a sponsored segment on her show.
You must be in her favorites because if you notice, you tend to butt dial your favorites more often than the other people.
Oh, is that right?
Allegedly.
So in other words, you should be flattered.
Yeah.
Oh, anytime Patty's butt calls me, I'm flattered. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, of course. And finally this, a dad was upset with his kids for not cleaning up. So he took a picture of Liam Neeson on the phone, and he posted this above the mess they left in the sink. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for a maid to clean up after you, I can tell you I don't do that. But what I do have is a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long time. Skills that make me an expert in home Wi-Fi and cellular data plans. If you clean up your own kitchen mess, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will disconnect you.
Longest meme in the world.
And now you're about to be taken.
How great is that? Dad's threatening to cut off their cell phone because they don't clean up.
Yeah, but you know what? The kids probably stopped reading after the first line.
Oh, I think once they realized it was from Dad, they probably realized they were busted. You know, that's a threat, man. Cutting off the kids' phones? That's the new thing that works. For you that don't know this era, Ross, back in the 70s, what your parents would do is they'd do something like, take away your bike because we actually went outside. That type of thing.
What's a bike?
It's 848. Back to Laura for Mary with the traffic. What's Trump going to slap his name on if he gets elected? He's not going to get elected. What's he going to put his name on once he's the president? He's not going to be president. 312-981-7200. That's the texter line on 720 WGN.
Let's take it up. Hey!
Love those kids. We got to get those kids back. If Trump were president, he'd change the Alamo to the Alamo money. And they keep coming in. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you? How was your vacation, Bill, or whatever that was?
It's nice of you to ask. It was delightful, as the kids like to say, Steve.
If Trump were president, we wouldn't have a bald eagle anymore because he put a tiny weave on top of his tiny bald eagle head. this is the Pentagon would be the Trumpagon. Where'd you go?
Maine.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I went to Maine.
But you've done this a few times.
Many times.
Yeah.
I love Maine.
So it's beautiful. Did you go crabbing?
No. Lobstering is their main, that's their main thing.
Where do you get the crabs?
In the ocean.
Oh.
They're right in the ocean.
Not always.
You got to go to the ocean.
Alaska's the crabs, right?
Maryland.
Yeah. Maryland has crabs.
Oh, yeah. Right.
My cousin has crabs.
Right. Oh, God. Oh. Rid works amazingly.
Oh, God.
That went down a different road right there quickly, didn't it? But you had a good time.
Yes, I did.
Were you in Kennebunkport with the bushes?
I was just minutes away from there.
Could you see Kennebunkport from your house?
We went. We spent one of the days we spent there, actually.
In Kennebunkport?
Yeah, in Kennebunkport.
What's in Kennebunkport other than the bushes?
The house that they used as Collinwood in Dark Shadows is there. And the hotel, The Colony, where they shot The Shining, part of The Shining, is also there.
They shot The Shining in Maine?
No, it takes place in Colorado, but they used that hotel.
Oh, okay.
You should give tours, Vacationing with Bill Lev.
That would be a fun tour, wouldn't it?
But you only go to Maine, right?
Well, no, I've been to other places.
No, you haven't.
I've been all around
the
world.
For the sake of this bit, you only go to Maine.
I've only been to Maine so far, but I'm going to go to some other places. We've got a map now. We bought a map.
You should go see the Alamo money.
That's in Texas.
Yes, it is.
That's way far away.
All right, what are you guys doing today?
At 10:05, a very serious issue, heroin out there. Kids are dying from it, and we're going to talk to Tim Ryan. He is really helping kids one at a time, trying to beat the addiction. So that's going to be
great.
Pretty serious, and I'm scared of it, quite honestly. I can't believe it's made a comeback.
Yeah, it's big in the western suburbs.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So
scary.
And cheap and easy to get. Other than that, you know, well, it's just sad. Yeah. So that's at 10 o'clock?
10:05, yes.
Bill and Wendy now.